Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 447, the stanzas 1 and 2. And my soul was glad when unto me they said, Come, we will now repair unto Jehovah's house of prayer, there to adore his majesty. And what follows? Psalter 447, the stanzas 1 and 2. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 2, the verses 1 through 21. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 2, the first 21 verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, Are not all these which be Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer John Bazoya in his weak and declining condition, and Mr. and Mrs. Kevin and Rochelle Vamanen, who were blessed with the birth of twin boys. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy tender mercies to grant unto us and our children another Lord's Day, where in the midst of all the dangers, the trials, the sickness, that thou wast spared the whole congregation, and the week that lies behind us, then thou wast not dealt according to our manifold sins, because if thou had done so, then we would have been ushered into eternity. But in thy patient long-suffering, then thou wast yet bore with us, and then thou yet proclaimest unto us that there is a way to be saved. That is a blessing which many inhabitants, most of the inhabitants, do not have. Thy holy word and the truth thereof. And Lord, now on this day, then in a special way, then we are called to commemorate and to meditate upon the rich and glorious outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon thy church. And Lord, in the past weeks, may there yet have been a few beggars Ah, thirsty souls, that may resemble that early church, even in a very small way. Oh, exercised with the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Ah, thirsty souls, that have begged for those blessings from heaven, the showers of thy Holy Spirit, that have begged of thee that they may be remembered with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Lord, when it has been different, then there is need for confession of guilt. Ah, thou knowest that of self, that we are such a prayerless people. Oh, still prayers for the timely things when there is great need. But concerning that outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, Lord, thou hast promised in thy word that thou wilt pour waters upon them that are thirsty. Ah, may that take place in this morning hour. But then thou hast also spoken of those waters that would fall upon dry ground. And, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that is given to experience that dry ground. Oh, and what a privilege and what a blessing it is. Oh, when there may yet be a few tears, that dry ground may yet be moistened with those holy and vehement desires after thee and thy righteousness. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may remember us and our children, that thou may fulfill in a richer measure what thou was promised by the prophet of old, that thou wilt pour thy Spirit upon our seed and thy blessing upon the offspring. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, then it is pleased thee to come down with thy Holy Spirit. Then thy church was filled with such a rich and such a full measure, to be given to liberty to speak of the wonderful things of the Lord, oh, of the Holy Spirit as the sealer of their redemption. And then they were given to proclaim so freely that only name given under heaven, the name of Jesus, whom the Jewish people by wicked hands have taken and slain, but he has become Lord in Christ. And were the word of the apostles that it was richly blessed, that it was richly applied, that it has entered into the heart of so many. Then we read that 3,000 were pricked in their heart, that they have inquired what they must do to be saved. Lord, we humbly beg of thee in this morning, and may it please thee to come down with thy Spirit, with thy power, and with thy blood upon the church to receive those further blessings as the disciples have received on the day of Pentecost, but that it may be used for the conversion of our boys and our girls, of our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones. The world may still stand, and the sun and the moon may still endure, because there is still a church to be gathered. O Lord, leave and forsake us not, but may it please thee in this day to grant special tokens of thy divine favor. And what greater tokens could thou grant that when thy church may receive a special blessing, but also when it may be heard that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. Oh, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Do it then, Lord, for thy honor and for thy glory thou hast declared in thy holy word, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. Ah, then that early church, they were given to do it so freely and liberty. They feared no man, but their eyes were upon the King, at the right hand of the Father, who has declared, all power is given unto me in heaven upon earth, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. May then it please thee to bless thy church in a rich measure in this day, the established church is the persecuted church, mission work, and the Jewish people. Lord, then it is pleased thee in the past week to grant unto a father and a mother by renewal in their married life a double blessing, where thou wast glad in them with two little sons. Ah, thou wast spared life, then thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant them a humble and a broken heart? Wilt thou strengthen mother? Oh, undoubtedly at times overwhelmed, but, ah, Lord, shalt then thou grant such a special blessing, and shalt then thou not give them strength to take care of those two little children? May they be two little ones born to be born again, a little children for thy honor and for thy glory. We commend unto thee grandparents and the whole family circle. Remember all the mothers with the unborn, and do remember the barren ones amongst us. Lord, remember our manifold needs. And then we commend that old father who was moved into our care home. Oh, soon he stands before us long home, where he is in a very weak and a declining condition. But, our Lord, in this day, may it please thee to send forth that Pentecostal spirit. Wilt thou remember him for the body, insofar that it may please thee, where it seems that the time is very short? Wilt thou remember his dear wife, the family circle, so we commend him unto thee for body and for soul? Wilt thou remember all the sick and afflicted? Remember the many sick relatives. Were the concerns, were they are serious, were they are different, we commend each and every one unto thee. If it may please thee, may the means be further blessed, and may the callings be sanctified. Lord, we remember all the mourning ones. A family circle has stood on the cemetery in this past week to bury a beloved one. Ah, wilt thou continue to remember? Wilt thou uphold them? Where now it shall become more and more reality, especially for the widow, for the family circle. Lord, remember so all the mourning ones in our midst. Remember all of our elderly ones. Lord, we humbly beg of thee in this morning for thy help in speaking and in listening. Ah, thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee. May it please thee to refresh thy church. We may acknowledge thee for the rain which thou wast yet granted, but Lord, thou knowest the circumstances. May it please thee to further remember us. But remember also the dry church, and may it please thee to grant a richer time in the latter days of the earth. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 390, the three stanzas. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the North American General Mission. Psalter 390, the three stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 2, the first four verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Our text words speak of the day of Pentecost, the day of fulfillment, with three thoughts. In the first place, the filling of time. In the second place, the filling of the place. And in the third place, the filling of the church. The day of Pentecost, the day of fulfillment, the filling of time, as we read it in verse 1, the filling of the place, in the verses 2 and 3, and the filling of the church in verse 4, thus first, the filling of time. Beloved congregation, in this day by renewal, then in a special way, then the church may commemorate the rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. The day of Pentecost was one of the three great feasts that the Lord has instituted for the children of Israel. And those feasts were, our boys and girls, they know those feasts, the Passover, 7 days, a Pentecost, only 1 day, and the Feast of Tabernacles, also 7 days. It was 50 days after the celebration of the Passover. On that day it was also remembered that the Lord has given His law on Mount Sinai, where officially the birth of the Jewish nation, and in the New Testament church, then the day of Pentecost, then in the New Testament we speak of the last days, which have begun on the day of Pentecost, the New Testament church. Then the day of Pentecost was in the wheat harvest, and then it was commanded that the first two loaves, we know on the day of Passover, that the first sheaf of the barley harvest had to be brought to the service of the Lord. And now on the day of Pentecost, the first two loaves, the first fruits of the new harvest, were to be offered unto the Lord together with a burnt peace and sin offering. There had to be blood. Thus also the day of Pentecost, that stood in the context of the sacrifices. And now we read in our text words, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, for the true church of God we have heard in the past week, I wait upon the Lord, my soul doth wait, and on His word I do wait. And oh, in that time of waiting, then how distressful it can become. We read of that early church, they have returned to Jerusalem, rejoicing after their master had ascended on high. But we read in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, that they were together in one accord, with prayer and supplication, awaiting for the promise which Christ has given unto them. And then undoubtedly, then the church has expected, because Christ is resurrected on the first day, has appeared to them the following Lord's Day, and has Christ not declared in Acts 1 the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Not many days hence, the church has to understand it is at the Lord's time, but then undoubtedly, with what expectation the early church must have gathered on that first Lord's Day, that surely that would be the promise, that would be the appointed time, that the Spirit would be poured out, and then in the evening to return to their dwellings. Not their expectations fulfilled. The Lord has a people upon the earth that can understand it. And nevertheless, oh, it was for that church, because the church learns that it must all come from above. For that early church, it was the work of the Holy Spirit that is given the spirit of prayer and supplication for the fulfilling of the promise that the Spirit would be poured out. Thus when we read, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, then in the first place it was the decree time, because I read in Isaiah 46 verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my good pleasure. Acts 15 verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. And congregation, when that decree time may come, then there is no powers upon the earth, nor the powers of hell, that can hinder that work. Then in the second place, when we read, at that time, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, then it was the promised time, where Christ has clearly promised it in John 14 through 16, and also before he has ascended. Then in the third time, it was a prayed for time. Ah, what a blessed church, praying in one accord with prayer and supplication, congregation. How has it been in the past week? Have we thought much about this day? Were we given to think about Pentecost, where the Spirit has come down in such a full and such a rich measure upon his church, those that were gathered in that room, and then upon the preaching, 3,000 converted? Have we been exercised with those things? Or in this day, do we have quite a confession to make, that we have to say, "Oh Lord, what guilty people we are." Perhaps not even thought about it so much, and not so much begging. What a privilege. Oh, that church that was given to beg what the promise they did not say. It shall come so we do not have to do anything. Because we read in Ezekiel 36, I will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was awaited for time. And then we read, they were all with one accord in one place. We read in Acts 1, about 120. In the Bible, many times, if we think, when Jesus has fed the multitude, the one time 5,000 men, without women and children, another time 4,000, what do you think, congregation? when they were together with one accord, waiting, expecting? Could be another question. Do we still really expect it, such a rich blessing? Or do you think it is impossible? But now for that church, those 120 souls, by the Spirit given to pray and to wait and to expect the rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit, souls that have experienced the wonderful things of the Lord. What do you think, fathers and mothers? And with that promise of Joel, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, when they have come to that place, then we can understand that those fathers and mothers, that they have also taken their children along, that they would also be present when that Spirit would be poured out. How is that with us? Do we sometimes think about it? If we leave our place unlawfully empty, and it would please the Lord to do a great work, and we would not be present at service, much to think about, because on the day of Pentecost, we read of 3,000 that were pricked in their heart, and all those 3,000, to say it simply, boys and girls, they were in church. Some of them have traveled a great distance. They were all with one accord in one place. Also a wonder and a blessing, with one accord. In the book of Acts, we read of the church 7 times that they were with one accord. We also read in that book of the enemies, one accord, but only 3 times. What a blessing. How often that it seems that there seems to be more unity among the enemies of the truth than those that have the truth. But now it was the work of the Spirit with one accord. Oh, Christ, their Master, has ascended into heaven. But that church had a single eye to His glory and for the coming of His kingdom. It was not a false unity. It was a unity wrought by the work of the Holy Spirit, true saving faith, the Word as their guide, united in love, and the same desires, the same expectation, the same waiting that has bound them together. I read in Psalm 119, verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and keep thy precepts. Thus it was a church with a tender life, with a praying life. They were bound together, and that unity flowed out of the community with Christ, their head, who has ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Our second thought, the filling of the place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled. Thus in our text words, we have different words that speak of that fulfillment. In verse 1, fully come. In verse 2, it filled all the house. And in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. That's a Pentecostal blessing. Every blessing. Because they read in James 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of a turning. Also all temporal blessings, but in our text words it speaks of spiritual blessings. And suddenly, that was the Lord's time. We read in Isaiah 55, the verses 8 and 9, that the Lord's thoughts, ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are different than our thoughts. But now at the Lord's time, and then suddenly, it was evident that it was a wonder that has come from above. And then we read, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Thus we do not read in our text words, boys and girls, that there was a great wind and that there was a great storm, but that a sound as of a rushing wind was heard. We could say the sound of a hurricane or of a tornado. And now on the day of Pentecost, then the Lord has given a special sign, two signs. We have in our text words an audible sign, that is, boys and girls, something that we hear with our ears, and also a visible sign that we see with our eyes, and the audible sign that was the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And now the sign that the Lord has given on the day of Pentecost, that is rich instruction concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, then the word for breath, wind, and spirit, that is the same word in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Thus the sound as of a rushing mighty wind to typify the irresistible and wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Concerning the wind in the first place, then it is the Lord that causes the wind to blow. Our boys and girls can understand it. There is no one, of course. We can have a big fan that causes a little breeze, but we cannot cause the wind to blow. That is the Lord's work, whether it is a gentle wind or whether it is a mighty wind, whether it is a hurricane or tornado, all directed by the Lord. And so it is the work of the Spirit. And then in the second place, we cannot see the wind. Of course, boys and girls, we can see the effect of the wind. When we look at the trees and the wind blows, then we can see it. But the wind itself, that is invisible. And so it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ has said to Nicodemus, when he has come in the night with questions, in John 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It is such a mysterious and such an astonishing work, but it shall be seen by the effects. Then further, then many times, the Lord sends a very strong wind, that there is not a tree, how strong it may be, that can withstand a great storm. We see sometimes pictures of hurricanes, tornadoes, when the wind is given to blow, that it seems that nothing can withstand that wind. And so it is by the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, young and old, then there is no one that is too hard, that is too cold, that is sin too much. But by the powerful, mighty work of the Holy Spirit, when we think of the day of Pentecost, then there were those Jerusalemites who have cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him, his blood be upon us and our children." But then when the Spirit of the Lord began to blow, when they were pricked in their heart, then they were given to say, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Oh, what an encouragement for us and our children. Then in the next place, then the wind that blows from different directions. In the Bible we read in the Song of Solomon 4 verse 16, "Blow thou north wind, and come thou south wind, blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth." And so it is by the work of the Spirit, the north wind of uncovering, by that north wind, then a tree, a plant, becomes more hardy, the roots go down further. But a garden, a plant, also needs the south wind of consolation, of comfort, of the gospel. Oh, so it was on the day of Pentecost, then when the apostles began to preach, then they have laid open their guilt, that they by wicked hands have taken Christ, and that they have slain him, oh, it is true, by the determinate counsel of God, but that this Christ was risen, and he has become Lord in Christ. But then, oh, the disciples, when those that were pricked in their heart have asked, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Then they were given to proclaim that precious gospel of Jesus Christ, that he has come into the world, the gift of the Father. Oh, then they received such a freedom and such a liberty. Then the wind is necessary to blow away in low climates, low-lying areas where there is no wind. Then there are many diseases that fester. And now that wind that is necessary for us, we have said that that wind is irresistible. Nevertheless, in the Bible, there are special and solemn warnings concerning the work of the Holy Spirit, that we grieve not the Spirit, quench not the Spirit, blaspheme not the Spirit. Then to say it simply, young and old, then what a terrible thing it is to make it simple, that we set up windbreaks, that the wind of the Spirit will not come upon us, and that we go in places. Of course, the Lord can do all things. He can cause that wind convert a sinner at a bar, movie theater, internet, where we should not be. It's nothing impossible for the Lord. But what has the Lord now declared in his word? "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And to that end, how necessary that we are given to pray, even with our mind and with our tongue, for that precious wind of the Holy Spirit, that we may be wrought upon. And when that takes place, then it cannot remain hidden. That is very evident on the day of Pentecost. Further, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." Thus, that is the visible sign. And now the visible sign of a tongue. And boys and girls, with our tongue we speak, and we sing, and we pray. In James 3, then the apostle is given to write about that unruly member, that it is a member that is set on fire of hell. But now on the day of Pentecost, of course, the apostles were already wrought upon by the Spirit. But now in the special way, then their tongues, to say it reverently, were set on fire from heaven. Because they read in Psalm 69 verse 9, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. Then the church that was gathered together, then by the work of the Holy Spirit, oh, then with a single eye, for God's glory, the King that has ascended into heaven, and that his kingdom may come, with a vehement desire for the rich work of the Lord, that many would be gathered within the fold. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire. It was not real fire, but as a fire. And then we read of cloven tongues. Thus we could say a tongue with all branches, and that sat upon each of them. And now for that church that was gathered, they could not see that cloven tongue of fire upon their heads, but they could see it upon their neighbors. Of course, they have felt and experienced that special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Thus it is such a personal matter. The work of the Holy Spirit, our instructors, in our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day number 20, when they have spoken of the Holy Spirit, then they have said that was my true saving faith and is given to me that I am made partakers of the benefits of Christ and that he comforts and abides with me forever. Thus then we understand that the day of Pentecost can never be separated from the other works of salvation, the work of a triune God. With the birth of Christ, then we are given to commemorate God with us, because they read in Isaiah 14 verse 7, 7 verse 14, and a virgin shall conceive, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, where the Father has given his Son, with the death and resurrection of Christ. And then we may commemorate God for us, where Christ has satisfied justice and paid the price. But now on the day of Pentecost, then it is commemorated God in us. And that is what the church has experienced in that room. A concerning fire in the Bible. Then different places, many places. Then it points to the justice of God. I read in the Old Testament that the fire on the altar of burnt offerings, that it may never be extinguished, never go out. That implied that that fire kept demanding sacrifices. That was the Old Testament. It was never, even on the great day of atonement, that that fire was extinguished. It all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now in the New Testament, then Christ has placed himself under the fire of the wrath of God. He has satisfied his Father's justice, and therefore for the church, then that fire has been extinguished, and then it may be a symbol of the presence of the Lord. Oh, so it was in Exodus 3 with that burning bush with the angel of the covenant that the angel was present. Then in the second place, then fire that grants light. And of course, never separated from the work of Christ, because the day of Pentecost, then the Holy Spirit, when He was poured out, then it was fulfilled what I read in John 16, verse 13 and 14, that He would guide and lead the church in all truth. He shall glorify Me, He shall receive of Mine, and He shall show it unto you. Thus on the day of Pentecost, those cloven tongues as a fire. Oh, then the church has received special light. Then further, a fire grants heat. Oh, by the work of the Holy Spirit, then the heart becomes soft. Then the heart begins to melt. Oh, what a privilege for the church of God when they may come in His presence at the throne of grace with that melting heart. Ah, when the Lord speaks, when the Lord comforts, then their heart is given to be warmed. Oh, also concerning their fellow man, with a vehement desire that all people may become partakers of the precious things of the Lord, that the thirsty earth may be replenished with the refreshing showers of rain. Oh, then I read in Isaiah 32, verse 15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, then the wilderness shall be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted as a forest. Then further, then fire also purifies. Oh, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to uncover His people more and more, that there is only one name given under heaven. All the rest must be burnt up. It must be taken up. Thus, on the day of Pentecost, an audible sign, the sound as of a rushing mighty wind, but also the visible sign, the cloven tongues as a fire. Thirdly, the filling of the church. Let us first sing. Psalter 428, the stanzas 2 and 8. Oh, let Thy Spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed, to keep Thy statutes so to be obeyed, that from all error I may be protected. And what follows, Psalter 428, the stanzas 2 and 8. the day of Pentecost, the day of fulfillment, the filling of time, the filling of the place, and now thirdly, the filling of the church. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Then the question shall be asked, what was that church that was gathered together? Were they not partakers of the work of the Holy Spirit? Oh, certainly. When the Lord begins that good and precious work in the heart of a sinner, then the Holy Spirit takes abode, and then he becomes their teacher, and he is given to instruct such a sinner in divine truths. Thus the church, in the moment of regeneration, then they became partakers of the work of the Holy Spirit. Then further, on the day of the resurrection, in the evening hour when Christ has appeared to his disciples, then it is specifically written in John 20, that he breathed on them concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. When we read in our text, and they were all filled, that word is a very full word, and that means if we have a cup, boys and girls, and we fill it, that we fill it right to the top, and that there even comes a time, sometime the water can even be a little higher, but that there comes a time that it overflows. And that is meant by that word in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Thus it is written in our text that they received a fuller and a richer measure of the Holy Spirit, and concerning the church, a fuller light upon the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit as the sealer of their redemption. And then it is clear in the life of the disciples, they have sat under his prophetical ministry. But now on the evening of the resurrection, then we read specifically in Luke 24, verse 45, that he opened their understanding, that they understood the scriptures. Then the disciples were led further and have experienced matters which they have not experienced before. Then with the ascension of Christ, when we read that they were given to rejoice, they returned to Jerusalem, they worshipped and praised the Lord. Then with the ascension of Christ, they have also received the further instruction and leading matters. Oh, it is true, Christ has spoken of his ascension, that he would depart, but now they have experienced it. And now on the day of Pentecost, they have received that full measure of the Holy Spirit. And then concerning that full measure, then they have received a special liberty, because they read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7, where the Spirit of the Lord there is liberty. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, then they did not fear all that people in Jerusalem, they did not fear the Sanhedrin, but they were given to speak as the Lord gave them utterance. Then concerning that speaking in tongues, then that was a special Pentecostal gift that the Lord has given to the early church. There are many Pentecostal churches, that still speak of the speaking in tongues, that they shriek and that they make strange noises, but that is all nonsense. It was a special gift that the Lord has entrusted to the apostles in their preaching, that without going to school and studying those other languages, that on this day that they could speak fluently, because that word speak in the Greek, that means to speak in a clear and concise manner, of very weighty manners. Thus, that is a gift that was given to the early church. The late Reverend Lemaine, he has written in 1947, when he has sailed on the boat from the Netherlands to Canada, that the thought crossed his mind, perhaps it shall go as with the apostles when I come in North America, that I could speak English. But oh, he has found out, boys and girls, you know how he began? The instructor as teacher, he started with a kindergarten book. Thus, the speaking of tongues, that was a special gift at a special time, that was given to the early church, that people that were present in the special providence of the Lord, that many from different nations, the Jews, were dispersed, that they were present on this feast, and that the Lord has wrought wonderfully and marvelously and mightily in many hearts, that people, that they would be given to return as messengers to speak what they have experienced, oh, of the wonderful things of the Lord concerning the work of a triune God. Thus the speaking in tongues, that was a special gift entrusted to the church, and yet it still takes place to this very day. When the Spirit works, then we begin to speak in other tongues. Do you know what I mean, congregation? Does not mean that we shall be given to speak in a different language. Nevertheless, given to speak with a different tongue, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Ah, that becomes evident in the inner chamber. Oh, then you hear a sinner, the prayer of the publican. Then the Pharisee becomes a publican, also the worldling. It's the same work. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, then we hear such a one with an other tongue. It is true. Before, let's say at night, boys and girls, then we asked for the forgiveness of sins, or, because we live in a day when that petition many times is missed, not so much impression of our sins, but oh, see then one that has been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, then such a one is given to confess his sins, particular sins. Oh, then they belong to that blessed people, as they read in Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, then they are given to speak in different tongues. Think of that thief on the cross. He is railed on Christ, ready to drop into hell. What a hard man, we would think. He would have prayed, but then he began to speak with an other tongue. Dost thou not fear God? We are in the same condemnation, we indeed justly. This man has done nothing amiss. then we shall be given to speak in a different tongue. Our fellow man, when there may be freedom to warn, because when the Lord works, we learn that we are in that broad way, and all our fellow travelers, oh, then a father begins to speak in a different tongue, head of the household, a mother, a wife, then the children shall hear it. Then mother is given to speak so differently. Oh, at times tears to warn her dear children of that one thing needful. Oh, then a different tongue in the way of singing, perhaps before, have listened to worldly songs, have even repeated them, at least in our mind. But then the psalters, they become so precious, then they become real when they may be implied. Do I not read in Isaiah 43, verse 21, "This people have I formed unto myself, and they shall show forth my praise." Has that now happened in our life? Given to speak in other tongues. Then other things become important, not to minimize the worldly things, but then perhaps also concerning our temporal things, that the Lord is mentioned, that he is acknowledged, special providences, answers upon prayer, and when the Lord may lead further, oh, to be given to speak of that only name given under heaven, that precious Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when the Spirit works, then we does not begin with speaking in tongues, but then we also hear others speak in different tongues, also in church. Then we hear things that we have not really heard before. Then we wonder, how come the minister preaches so different, or the elder reads different sermons? Why were we not told these things before? Then by the work of the Spirit, then we are given to speak, to hear of those different tongues, and that is also in the life of God's people, because usually they listen the best to what they have experienced that they can identify with. And then concerning those further leadings, oh, with the jealousy, but do not really understand that they need it, the prayers multiplied that the Lord may grant it, and also when the Lord opens the gospel, and they may be given to behold that precious mediator in his riches, in his fullness, in his willingness, his ableness to save. Oh, then they are given to hear different tongues. Then they are given to listen that that mediator may be exalted and raised up as the Savior for sinners, even for the chiefest of sinners. Oh, how they are given to listen, because they need to know how such a sinner may be saved. The church has spoken in different tongues. Congregation, what a wonderful time and what a wonderful work that was on the day of Pentecost. It first concerns that the church was filled with the fullness of the Spirit, that they have received that liberty, that they were given to proclaim the gospel, that one name given under heaven, and how richly that it was be blessed. It has sat on each of them, such a personal matter. And now the question is, how is it with us, congregation? How is it with us concerning the work of the Spirit? Has there ever been a beginning? And if you have to say no, may you be given to ask in this day, tell the Lord that there were so many present on the day of Pentecost, and that by the preaching, 3,000 were pricked in the heart, and to ask the Lord, Lord, may it now be me in this day, that thou may convert me as thou hast converted all thy people. Have we begun to speak, first listen with different ears? That is the work of the Spirit, to unstop our ears and our hearts, that we may hear the things, the precious things of the Lord, be filled with the holy jealousy, exercised with our sins, with our heavenly high debt, and to hear of that precious name of Jesus. Ah, for the church of God, Peter has written concerning that church in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. There's a people that is not understand by the world, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. May the prayers be multiplied for that wonderful work we read in Psalm 118. It is true, it points especially, prophesies especially the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also applicable to the day of Pentecost, where we read in Psalm 110, verse 23, this is the Lord's doing, in verse 24, this is the day which the Lord has made, we will be glad and rejoice in it. And then verse 25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Amen. Let us close. Ah, Lord, what a wonderful work it was on the day of Pentecost. 3,000, soon the number increased to 5,000. Thou was added daily to the church, such as should be saved, and we even read that thy church was multiplied. Lord, thou wast given special times of revival and refreshment in thy church. For thee there is nothing impossible, and to that end, by renewal, we beg of thee, ah, wilt thou remember us and our children, remember thy people, wilt thou fill them in a fuller measure, grant us further leadings, that liberty, that freedom, and that rejoicing in thee, with that burning heart for the coming of thy kingdom. Ah, Lord, may in this day, among young and old, may sinners be pricked in their heart. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in this day, return us in this evening hour, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 255, the stanzas 1 and 4. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise. To the rock of our salvation, loud hosannas let us raise. And what follows? We announce that the Paul magazine is at the exit. Psalter 255, the stanzas 1 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.